All right, we are 19 days from the start of Carolina football. Kent State, September 5th, 1245, Williams-Brice Stadium. And those 19 days seemingly can't go quick enough. And once again, the head football coach of the Gamecocks, Shane Beamer, is kind enough to join us. We hadn't had him in a few months. A little bit cooler back then. A little bit warmer right now. It's been 100 degrees seemingly every day in the month of August, and I don't think it's going to slow down this week. But we've got football to talk about. Man, it's good to see you. And welcome back. Welcome to the season. How are you?
I'm doing great. Yeah, you're right. It's definitely hot out. You know, last year, this time of year, for whatever reason, kind of caught a little bit of a cool spell during preseason practice for us. So the heat is tough, but needed. And it's been great being out there, and love the way practice is going. And 19 days away. Can't wait.
Yeah, you sign some of these kids out of the Northeast. You're like, hey, come on down and play in South Carolina. And then they get into camp in August, and they're like,
yeah, man. I remember about three or four years ago, we had recruited an offensive lineman from the Northeast, and he was down here in the middle of August. And one day I saw him, and he's like, hey, man, you didn't tell me about this in recruiting. You're right. But I was talking, you know, we've got some new coaches, and Randy Clements and Kendall Bryles, they've coached everywhere. I mean, they've coached in Houston, they've coached in Waco, Texas, they've coached in Fort Worth, Texas, they've coached in Boca Raton, Florida, Tallahassee, Florida, and they confirmed that Columbia, South Carolina is the hottest place on earth, which we all knew, but glad to see those guys that have been in the state of Florida and Texas confirm the same.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I guess famously hot is real. All right, so you got a scrimmage in the books. Let's start with the tough news that y'all released last night about the Jadens, Sellers and Gibson. Both of them go down. I guess Jaden went down in the scrimmage, and Sellers, and then Jaden Gibson, from what I understand, sometime last week. But first of all, I'm sorry to hear that. I mean, I know you're excited for those two dudes, and now they're out. How are they doing? How are they doing?
Yeah, they're doing okay, as you can expect. I hate it. I hurt for both of them because they both put so much in, you know, to this season, on and off the field. You know, Jaden Gibson coming back off an injury, all the work that went into him being able to play. Yeah. He had a lot of academic work he had to get done that, I'll be honest with you, a lot of people probably looked at what he had to get done academically at Oklahoma and South Carolina and said, man, there's no way he could get that done academically. And not only did he get it done, he graduated from OU in the springtime, which is an awesome accomplishment. So really hurt for him. Got hurt earlier in the week, and talk to him, you know, regularly, obviously see him, and he's in good spirits. And then Jaden Sellers, that happened Saturday night during the scrimmage in the stadium. And, you know, we were hoping for better news, and then he found out yesterday, and that was tough when I broke that news to him, what the MRI showed. But, you know, both those guys are tough kids mentally and physically, and they'll attack this recovery process the right way. And I just hate it. I mean, both of them were literally non-contact injuries. I mean, they didn't get touched, and that's what you hate to see any injury, but especially an injury to a guy that, you know, catches a pass, doesn't have contact, and then has an injury that occurs. You know, that's tough, but they'll be okay, and we got to rally around them and be strong for them as the rest of the team and the organization, and we will be.
Well, you know, one of the things as it pertains to the team, you got a deep group. I mean, I know Jackson Rep, you announced him out at the beginning of camp, so that's three guys that in the room that are down. But now that you're about a week into this deal and you've scrimmaged once, which players have used camp to kind of step up and maybe increase their playing time to this point?
You know, you're right. That receiving group is a deep room. And I would sit there and say, tell you that it's not coach speak. Literally every receiver that you see on our roster has got themselves in the mix for playing time, whether it be returners, whether it be transfers, whether it be true freshmen, and like where that group is right now, there really is a lot of competition. You know, Mazio Bennett is really having a good preseason. He had a great spring, he had a great summer, and he's having a great preseason. He is showing, you know, how important it is to him. And then I would say all those all those freshman receivers that we signed last year are now a year older, and they are really taking steps. You know, Malik Clark has had some really nice plays recently. Donovan Murph had a long touchdown catch in a scrim in practice last night. Lex Cyrus had a long touchdown catch in practice last night. So you talk about all those guys that are a year older, returners, freshmen. It's a good group, and hard to single out one other than just saying there's great competition in that room right now, which is true. If you ask me today, DJ Black's come in and really done a nice job. If you ask me, okay, who are your starters? Who are your top five right now against Kent State? I'd have a hard time telling you, man, you know, who those five are, because we've got literally more than five, in my opinion. So excited to see how that thing kind of shakes itself out over the next couple of weeks and throughout the season as we continue to improve.
Nick's safe, right? Nick's in the top five, right? I'm assuming.
Yeah, I mean,
okay, come on. Okay.
He's in there.
Yeah, okay. He might be five, but he's in there. All right. I always leave the injury news to you, man. You know, I'm not going to go down the rabbit hole with you when it comes to guys banged up. We know people are banged up to camp, and then, you know, but we'll get all that figured out over the next couple of weeks. So after the scrimmage, now, you know, you got one more coming up on Saturday, and then y'all start to make some decisions from there offensively. What's the focus this week after what you saw Saturday night? The dust has settled. What are we working on here?
I think it's one, what I just mentioned, just the competition at each position. And that's real. What this receiving core looks like. Who are those top guys that we're going to be playing against Kent State? The running back position, you know, how does that shake itself out? Because that's got a lot of depth, and I wouldn't say that we've got, you know, two or three that have separated themselves necessarily, and that's okay. I mean, we got some really good players in that room. Offensive line wise, solidifying who those top 7, 8, 9 guys are. We've had some injuries there. Nothing long term, knock on wood, but we had some guys that missed a couple practices last week, and they're back and they're healthy. So being able to really solidify that, but that's one. But I was pleased from an offensive standpoint with what we did the other night. We started fast, which is key. We did a good job of protecting the football, which is key. We didn't have penalties. I think the entire offense, the entire night, we got about, I think, 90 plays run the other night in the scrimmage, and our offense had 2 penalties the entire night.
Wow.
One was a false start at the end of the scrimmage, and one was a holding penalty when Lenore scrambled, and which he's going to do. And so that part was good. We played clean football. We played winning football. And as you know, we've had too many instances of not playing winning football on offense, particularly last year, whether it be turnovers or whether it be negative plays or penalties. And to have a first scrimmage in the stadium without penalties, without turnovers, and without a ton of negative plays, I was really pleased from that standpoint. So continuing to, you know, develop that and then or continue to be good at that. And then obviously with Jaden Sellers' injury, because he's working in the slot for us. Now we've got to get some other guys, you know, ready to play and really force feeding them to get ready maybe a little bit quicker than we anticipated them having to be ready.
Yeah, one of those guys might be Sequel. We've heard Sequel's been playing well, Sequel Patterson. Yeah. So I guess we'll see what that looks like. Okay, so the offensive line has kind of been the conversation, right, around here for a long time. You and I have talked about it plenty in the last couple of years. What are the things that Randy Clements and Jason Smith, I guess y'all call him Smooth, in the building there, what are the things that they put these guys through on a daily basis to get the most out of them?
I think you've got two really good coaches right there in that. You know, they can break up. They can get some guys some, you know, a little bit more individual attention. You've got a guy in Jason Smith that played the game at the highest level at the NFL as a first round draft pick. His experience. You got Clem and his experience in regards to developing players. You've got both of them who have been around Kendall for a long, long time. It's just a great collaboration with how the three of them work. But I just think they're really good teachers. They're hard nosed. They're tough. They're demanding. And, you know, I truly believe teams take on the personality of their coaches in a lot of ways. And I hope that's the case with the offensive line. And from what I'm seeing, it is, because both those guys, Clem and Smooth, are, you know, tough, hard-nosed, demanding coaches that have an edge to them. And that's what we need to see on the offensive line. And so far, signs are good that we will.
All right, so the guy that's leading all that, obviously, is Lenore Sellers. He's been around here for a while, but he's playing under his third coordinator in 3 years, really four if you want to include Mike Furry and stepping in last year in that interim role. And now he's got an offense that it seems like it fits his tools. That's what it seems like from the outside looking in, Coach. Obviously, we won't know that until we actually get a chance to watch it. But where would you say he is in the process of kind of – being able to be that coach on the field, that field general, the extension of your offensive coordinator?
I think really close, really good. You know, so many signs of it that he is right now. I think he's playing confidently. I think he's playing freely. He understands what's going on offensively. Lenore's is a football junkie, and I've said that before. Like, he really, you know, loves watching football and studying the game and learning this offense. And you know, I truly believe we're going to see the best version of Lenore Sellers in 2026. I think he's in a good place right now. And I see signs of that on the field now that he's been in this offense now for, what, 7 months, I guess, since, or 8 months, really, since Kendall got here when we hired him in, December? So I think Lenore is in a really good place. I hear him on the field, you know, communicating, talking to people, whether it be a receiver that doesn't run a route quite the right way that he expects it to be run, or a running back that he's got to, you know, talk about from a help with a protection standpoint, whatever it might be. I hear him. He's very communicative out there right now, and I like where he is.
When you talk about this offense, I know you're not going to give away state secrets. I'd never ask you to do that, but we've all seen Kendall Briles' offenses over the years. They use the whole field, use a lot of space, and they use a lot of tempo. What makes that difficult for defenses to defend, and how has your defense defended it to this point?
I think good. It's been great work, you know, for our defense, because it's the offense, what we're doing. It's challenging. Yes, there's, you know, tempo elements, but we do sometimes use this thing called the huddle that people never see anymore. Like, we actually do that sometimes. So, you know, the fact that you have this thing called the huddle that sometimes we may be in, and then sometimes there's tempo, is a challenge for a defense. And then when you talk about, I just think the ability to use the entire field, all 53 yards from sideline to sideline, and 100 yards of the field. And then the creativity and what he's able to do in the offensive staff and how they line up, where they put people. This thing puts a lot of pressure on defenses. And not to mention when you've got, in my opinion, some really good players that are running that offense, that helps too. But it's been good work for our defense. Just they're defending everything that I feel like they're going to see throughout the season in regards to what we're doing offensively, whether scheme, personnel, style, running the ball, throwing the ball. We're throwing a lot at them, and the defense is throwing a lot at the offense too. So it's been really, really good work. I mean, we got a pretty good defense too. So that's been great work for our offense, competing against our defense each and every day in practice as well.
Yeah, I do want to ask you about some of those defenders in just a second, but I want to follow up on that real quick, because I think when you look at the schedule, you've got, like, with Tennessee out there, some of the things offensively some of these teams do that you're going to see this year. This probably is something that you haven't had, right, since you've been at South Carolina. Clayton's been with you the whole time, being able to consistently defend offenses that are going to be similar to those that you're going to see throughout the season. That seems like it helps.
Yeah, I think so. You know, I think there's different styles of, you know, tempo. Tennessee's out there, you know, they're trying to run this is probably 100 plays a game as fast as they literally can. And I don't know if we're quite there. I mean, there's elements of that, but yeah, there's no question about it. I mean, I remember we played Tennessee in 2021, my very first year, and got boat raced in the first quarter for a lot of reasons, but just in, there's no way you can really truly simulate the tempo of that offense until you do it in a game. Yeah. And we got out there in a game and obviously did not handle it well in 2021 up there. And then we settled down a little bit after the first quarter. But at that point, we were down so big after the first quarter, it was tough. And being able to do that in practice. And we've had tempo elements in our offense before. I mean, there's plays where, you know, I mean, there's a play against Vanderbilt 2024 where I think we hit a, you know, big play down to the goal line, and then we went tempo really, really fast, lined up in an unbalanced formation that Vanderbilt really had a hard time adjusting to, and we handed the ball off to Rocket Sanders and he went in there and scored. So I mean, there's elements of our offense in the past where we've gone fast. The very first third down of the Georgia game, 2021, we went first down, second down, and then it was third down in Athens, and Georgia was subbing, and we went as fast as we could to the line of scrimmage. We snapped it as fast as we could, and we threw a deep ball down the sideline to, it was either Jalen Brooks or Josh Van, and that was a tempo play for us. So it's, we've done that, but just the pressure of being able to do it a little bit more consistently is new, you know, for us in practice, and has been really good work for our defense and offense, and then just an overall conditioning standpoint for the entire team.
Well, on speaking of conditioning, they better be conditioned to the defenses that you will face, better be conditioned, obviously, to face that style of offense. But the same thing with your guys when they see theirs, right? And you, I know you're deep. We know you're deep up front, especially at the tackle position. You've talked about that a ton. With Dylan being out right now, you've got other guys who have to play a bunch of snaps, and they have to step up because they're going to be needed, maybe to start the season, maybe to finish it, who knows. Julian Walker's the big star here, Coach, the local kid whose father I know is an asset to your program there in the strength department as well. Tell me about Julian Walker. What's been going on in camp with him as far as earning significant snaps here when the season gets rolling?
Yeah, I would say with Julian, it's a continuation of what he's done since January, along with a lot of these freshmen that have come in, and that it's they don't look and they don't act like freshmen, if that makes sense. You know, they handle their business off the field. They have been able to dominate a lot of the workouts that we've had, whether it be weight room or whatever. I mean, there's sometimes, it's my 27th year in coaching now, and a lot of times freshmen come in and you're like, this dang freshman, and it's just dumb mistakes on and off the field. And you just say, you know what, he's a freshman, he'll grow, he'll learn, he'll mature. I haven't had to say that, knock on wood, with much of this freshman class, and Julian's right there at the top. He's very mature, done a great job in the weight room. He's gotten stronger, and that's probably the thing that jumps out on him on the field for a freshman. He's just a big young man that's very, very strong, and he's really having a nice preseason. He's playing with really good effort, making a lot of plays in the backfield. He had a really productive scrimmage the other night, and he's just going to continue to get better. And I was kidding with Dylan the other day. I'm like, hey, bud, have you ever heard the name Wally Pipp? Mm-hmm. And Dylan, of course, had never heard of Wally Pipp. And I'm like, look him up. And so Julian's doing a nice job, along with, you know, Anthony Addison, Caleb Herring. There's a lot of, when we talk about competition, that's another one in that room right now, is what does that look like when we play Kent State here in 3 weeks in regards to the rotation at that edge room, because there's a lot of bodies, a lot of unproven guys there, and a lot of, you know, new guys to South Carolina, whether it be, you know, transfers, whether it be freshmen like Julian that just got here, a redshirt freshman, and Kobe, KSP, who got, you know, injured last year and missed the season. There's a lot of, you know, guys there that I like in that room, but what's it all going to look like in 3 weeks is what we got to figure out.
Okay. Are we good on time for a couple minutes? Am I getting yelled at?
No.
Okay. I know debate, you know, Mike, I get it. He wants to keep everybody on schedule here. The secondary, man, you've got to feel good. I mean, you've got like 20 years of collegiate experience that you could be starting in week one, you know, with Peyton. I think Judge Collier, Coach, I'll let you come in on this. I think people are vastly underselling this guy because he gets hurt last year. Never really right. And people forget that he actually played before that season and was really good in a uniform for you. Vaccari, you know, I've heard you mention David Busey multiple times, kind of looking at people like, why are y'all not talking about this cat? I know people are focused on the young kids, current. I'm curious how Kendall Daniels is doing and earning some minutes out there. But the secondary, as young as it is behind these guys, I think behind these guys, you don't have a depth chart out, but I think it's pretty experienced when you actually put them on the field. So tell me about those guys, your version.
Yeah, like the group, I would agree with you on all that. I think Judge and Vaccari are two of the best corners in this league, and I think they're having a really, 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 really good preseason and playing at a really high level right now. What the concern is, what does it look like behind them? We got some guys that are battling there to be that third corner. Is it DeMarcus Leach? Is it Cassie Barnes? Is it Jalua Solomon? Is it somebody at another position that could potentially go play corner? That's what we got to figure out. But really love that starting group. So there's some breaking news. Judge and Vaccari right now are our starting corners. And then the nickel position, there's experience. The safety position, there's experience. The concern is just behind those, you know, older guys, there's a big drop off in regards to experience. You go from multi-year starters to potentially a lot of true freshmen. And, you know, that is a concern, but overall I do like the group and the freshmen and the new guys are really, really good players. It's just going to be key. How quickly can we, you know, develop them, but nobody's better in the country at being able to do that than Torian Gray.
Yeah, you got that right. And Quay Sheed and Gerald, that competition is ongoing at nickel, correct?
Yes. Yeah. They're working at nickel, but both those guys also have position flexibility. You know, Quay Sheed can do some different things. Gerald can do some different things. And you want to be able to, in my opinion, have offensive line, you love position flexibility. Secondary, you love position flexibility where this safety can go play nickel or this nickel can go play safety or this nickel can go play corner or this safety can go play corner. And we've been able to do that in the past and this year's no different.
Okay. We'll keep our eyes on that. There's got to be, I know a lot of the times you're playing just two linebackers out there, but you've got three really, really good ones in Justin Okoronkwo. And no disrespect to some of these other guys like Donovan Darden and guys like that. That's not what I'm saying. But we've seen JR, we've seen J.O., and we've seen what's Sean Murphy's nickname? He's got to have a nickname, right? Is he just Murph?
He's Murph or Sean to me. I don't know.
Okay. You got J.O. and J.R. You got to come up with something here. Does Clayton, again, not asking for state secrets, although it's going to kind of sound that way, I guess. Do you try to figure out ways to get all three of these guys on the field at the same time?
Yeah, I think there's certainly scenarios. I mean, we've played games in the past where if we're playing a team that, maybe wants to use heavier sets, multiple tight ends, where we've played like quote unquote a base defense where we've had three linebackers on the field. You know, we did that a couple of years ago with Debo, D Knight, and Bam Scott. So we've done that some. That's always a possibility depending on the style of offense, but easily done with those linebackers because, you know, they are all really good players. They can run, they can cover, they're athletic, and certainly we're better when all three of them are on the field. And I like the way they've worked and developed over the summer. I feel like they're, you know, as they should be, faster, stronger, and even better than what they were last year from a physical standpoint.
Leaders. You love when linebackers lead, don't you? Okay. What's going on with the kickers? How do you feel, coach? And you got a ways to go. I know that. But you're one of the best special teams mind I've ever talked to. I don't know if you feel like you are or not, but you're pretty smart in this department here, and you hired a really good one in Matthew Smiley. Where do you feel like you are in evaluating these guys? And is there a chance at all that Mason Love could ever get back in the mix, or have we just gone ahead and eliminated that?
I don't see that scenario where Mason's in the mix. I think we got three really good kickers in Upton, Max, and Malik. All three of those guys are competing, and Matthew Smiley and I were talking about it yesterday. I feel like we got three kickers that we can win football games with. We need somebody to separate at that group. And it's not because they're not doing well. It's they're all doing well, in my opinion. And at some point we have to make a decision, but I'm not concerned about that position by any stretch of the imagination. It's not that we don't have a kicker. I feel like we've got three really good kickers right now. And somebody, just like these other positions, somebody's got to go take this thing. And this is the week to try and do it.
All right, I'm going to move to the guy that allows them to kick.
All right, I do. I know we're going. I'm about to cut you off because I do have something here at the bottom of the hour.
So yeah. Okay.
And I do have to roll. I'm sorry. Okay. As much as I can talk Gamecock football with you all day,
you're totally fine, Coach. We'll let you run on that note. I know you got to go because we kept you a few minutes past anyways. Can't wait to see it in a few weeks. Great stuff as always. Appreciate you, and we'll catch up here pretty soon, man. Go get them. Stay cool.